Welcome into Brewcast from Maize and Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am Luke Giardi, joined as always by Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani. Well, I should say always, Chris, good to have you back, man. We missed you last week, but definitely glad that you're here for this one.
Yeah, sorry, unfortunately, I couldn't make it last week, but definitely happy to be back doing this for what is a very important week now with it being rivalry week.
And we're here with you on Monday night recording as we head into Tuesday of rivalry week here in the state of Michigan. Michigan State coming up on Saturday. So we've got Chris back. Anthony, how you feeling here today, man? I know you had a long one today.
Yeah, it was a day. Literally, as we press record, have been home and off those roads here in Michigan for like 10 minutes. Brutal day. In fact, I apologize if there's a little bit of background noise here. For some reason, the emergency sirens are going off in my neighborhood. So that's just where we're at we're not quite ready for the snow yet. November 11th is a little early for that. So a little bit flustered today. Also coming off of, a long weekend, a long bye week, just, ready to hop back into it. It's Michigan State week. Like, it's rivalry week, and it's not quite as exciting as we're used to, but I think for us and for the Wolverines, it's going to end up being a good week. Little bit of announcement here. I'll just announce it off the top of the show. So I keep your interest now and people know what to expect the rest of the week. On tomorrow's podcast, we will be talking to Scott Bell. So there you go. You heard it here first, folks.
That'll be an interesting conversation. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Can't wait to tune in. But there's a lot of storylines going into this week, even though we kind of feel like there isn't, or this game it doesn't have as much hype as we maybe thought it would at the beginning of the year. But I thought Chris, when we were kind of talking off air, he mentioned that every year just feels a little different, and this year is interesting because of what's transpired with Michigan State, and it could have easily been the same with what had gone on early on with Michigan. They seem to have turned the tide and asserted themselves as, a top 20 team in the country. But for a while there, we were a little iffy on exactly what Michigan was. Michigan State, 4 brutal losses in a row, 3 to very good teams, and then obviously blowing a 28-3 lead against Illinois is rough. And there's obviously a lot of chatter amongst the Spartan fan base and a divide similar to what the Michigan fan base had, with Jim Harbaugh earlier this year, right? We were talking about, is Harbaugh the right guy? We have to see how this season plays out.
This is much worse than that.
Oh, much worse.
Yeah, obviously. No, I'm not. That's not a dog against you. Like, this is outrage akin to Brady Hoke's last season at Michigan in 2014.
And he had the Shane Morris moment last week.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Things are not going good up there. And, I think to a certain extent, it's even to the point where even Mark D'Antonio's most staunch defenders are – no, it's time. Like, it's a guy that obviously the best years look like they're behind him. They don't have the answers. He's doubled down on some of his policies for the last 4 or 5 years now. Let me just say something on behalf of, I mean, not on Spartan Nation's behalf, but because this is an in-state rivalry, I feel like when the team down the road isn't doing their part and it being a good rivalry, you take that a little more personal because, like, yeah, you want them. It's funny. You want them to lose every game, but then you're also kind of outraged that they're that bad coming into a matchup like this. Let me just say this. I'm embarrassed for Spartan fans right now. That game on Saturday night, and I didn't see it live, but, I saw enough to where there's no excuse for them to have blown that game. That was as embarrassing. That's an all-time meltdown. I mean, that is, that's a Bobby Williams meltdown. That's a John L. Smith meltdown. Regardless of what you think about Mark D'Antonio, what he's done for that football program, like, he is, I think you could make the argument he is the I don't really like this comparison, but you could make the argument he's the Bo Schembechler of Michigan State football.
Yes.
And for it to end is I mean, assuming it ends, because I see a guy that's checked out. I see players that have checked out. For things to be the way they are right now is unacceptable for a team that was in the college football playoff, what, 3 or 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. It's sad, really. And, you know, if I'm a Michigan player this week, and I know the human element could be, and we've seen it before, you can throw out the records in a game like this, but especially coming off of a bye week, you're kind of working to get yourself back to being motivated to play, which I think they are. But if I'm a Michigan player, Michigan coach, I am smelling blood in the water this week. You have a chance. All that they have left, all that Mark D'Antonio has left this season, is to beat Michigan. And I don't think that's enough to even save the direction of where this is going. You have a chance to kind of slam the door, put the nail in the coffin on a guy who's kind of been a boogeyman for you over the years. Even in the last couple years, when Michigan State hasn't quite been as good, they're still 2-2 against Michigan under Jim Harbaugh. So the opportunity, like it may not be as exciting as it's been, but the opportunity that you have this week to kind of listen, regardless of how you feel about Michigan football, how they stack up to Ohio State, how they stack up nationally, you have to take care of business at home and send a message that this is your state, for in-state recruiting, for, you know, just pecking order stuff in general. This, I don't think Michigan has a ton to gain by, like, if they win this game, good. They should win this game. That shouldn't be a problem for them. But if they lose this game, that would be an absolute disaster. Like, this is an absolute must win in my mind in every sense of the word.
No, I'm completely with you. I commenting on Michigan State here. Yeah, I mean, I share a lot of your sentiments. That was an all-time collapse on Saturday. That was hilarious. I feel bad saying that, but it was an iconic meltdown, and one that we have not seen in the D'Antonio era. That was the worst Michigan State collapse since the now infamous 2006 game against Notre Dame in the rain.
Yeah.
And Michigan State fans, especially the ones that, you know, because this is a community, whether I like it or not, that is home. And I have you know, my ear to the ground when it comes to that stuff. And the rage coming from Spartan Twitter on Saturday was understandable in the moment. I think it's gotten a little bit ridiculous because, and boy, this is maybe a controversial take here, but for about 20 years, you know, Perlis makes the Rose Bowl in the 80s, but then for about 20 years there, Michigan State was, more often than not, a second-rate program. And D'Antonio got in there and did things for that program that no one, even the people who held him, who expected a lot out of him, could have expected. And they had a six-year stretch where they were as good as almost any program, almost in the country. I mean, they were a top five, top 10 program in the entire world of college football. And they have fallen off. And this season, even though I can't say that they're necessarily a worse team than they were 3 years ago when they went 3-9, it feels like a worse season. It just feels like nothing has gone right. They brought back the offensive staff that they knew was not up to snuff and would not be capable of winning a Big Ten championship, and all those naysayers were right. And now Michigan has an opportunity on Saturday to effectively do, in a similar fashion, what the 2002 team did to the Bobby Williams era. And that is completely put a knife in this tenure. Now, obviously, different circumstances. D'Antonio, a much, much more accomplished coach than Bobby Williams was, and we all understand that. But I've watched every game of Michigan State this season. That's not a very good football team. They aren't particularly well disciplined. A lot of guys, especially the coaching staff as well, seem to have checked out. That their defense showed, which a lot of people were talking about early on as being this elite defense, I think kind of got exposed in the Indiana game And it hasn't looked that great in games that have followed, to be honest. And there's no reason. Now, I say this almost every year, but I'll say it again because why not? There's no reason why Michigan shouldn't win this game very easily. Now, it's not Rutgers, right? But this has three touchdowns written all over it. Now, I know this game, and I know both these teams very, very well, and both these programs well, that I feel like it probably won't be. But as we were talking about before the show, things change, do change from year to year. Very often, the team we see in 11 regular season games is not the team that we get in this game when these two teams show up. Maybe this is finally the year where things just become a little bit different in that rivalry. And if that was ever going to be, if a year like this was ever going to come, it would be this season. And it'll be interesting to see what two teams show up on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's, I think you put it well, Chris. Michigan has the chance to finally kind of put that nail and really turn the tide, I feel like, of this rivalry. We kind of thought it was going to happen in 2016, but then the 2017 team happened. You know, last year Michigan got a big boost, obviously came in with high expectations, but they haven't really met that. But if they're able to get this win on Saturday, like, it would be the first time Michigan has beaten Michigan State back-to-back since 2006 and 2007. I think that's big, you know, and the opportunity is there for Michigan to once again take control of the state of Michigan. They've done so recruiting the last couple of years, and this is where it all finally kind of starts to come to fruition. But Anthony put it well, too. Like, we're not going to feel great about a win, are we? I don't think so. Like, the expectation is to win this game, and if they don't, it's complete disaster written all over it. And I hate those type of games to where, especially in a rivalry game, where if you don't win, I mean, can you even imagine what the Michigan fan base is going to be like if Michigan does not win this game on Saturday?
It would be a disaster, and I know it's a rivalry, and I know all the cliches, you can throw the records out.
It would
out,
be but... dog sitting around fire meme.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very good. that would be, in fact, quite bad, actually. Hot take. They have to win this game, and they have to... I can get over... I could see it still being close and stressing people out, and... the outrage returns that, oh, you know, you just barely got by Sparty. How are you know, that's not the type of effort that's going to beat Ohio State. It's like, and that's 2 weeks from now. Like, I'm not going to worry about that. You just need to get through this one and have it be like, you know, don't have it be like the Army game, but if you could get out of there with an 8-10 point win, you know, I don't expect them to blow them out because both teams, like Mark D'Antonio, if there's any magic left there, he will have them ready to play. Somehow, some way, when things have gone so terrible for them, he will have them ready to play that game. To a certain extent, he had that 3-9 team ready to play that game. And I think that was more of a, you know, Michigan kind of let him hang around. They went a little bit conservative. I actually think that was, there may have been some concern about running up the score because I think the week before they had done what they did to Rutgers in historic fashion, but you know, this
the Spartans were defeated with dignity that game.
Oh God, it's one of the cringiest headlines ever written. because nothing that's ever happened at Michigan State has happened with dignity. Yeah, like let's put that right off the bat. You know, this has to be a moment. It would be nice to have a moment because make no mistake about it. We forget about kind of the post game or the pregame shenanigans from last year. The coaches going back and forth, you know, in their press conferences after the game, something before this game on the field is going to happen.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And there are one or two ways this can go. A, it can be kind of the fuel that Michigan State needs, or B, it will be something for Michigan where they do to them what the Spartans did to them in 2014 at Spartan Stadium, where they ran up to score late because of the whole the whole steak incident, so to speak. So something stupid and something juvenile is going to happen in this game. We already saw, I mean, I think that it will be a fairly civil week in terms of headlines and comments towards each other. But, you know, even as we sit down and record this today, the little brother, little sister thing is coming back up, which
where did the little sister thing come from? I don't understand. Like, it's stupid. So dumb.
I think what it was, it was a juvenile thing of like, what's something that's worse than little brother. And like, that was basically just like, that was all the thought process that went into it. And it even transformed into stuff like, I think when Derek Nix played basketball, he referred to him as like little nephews and stuff and just got dumber and dumber.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Seth from MGO blog who I saw tweet this out, where he's like, little brother thing was like emblematic of how the Michigan State players, fan base, whatever, acts towards Michigan. And then they turn around and do little sister. And that's, and again, I'm not attacking fan bases here, but that's when you turn it around and make it something like that, that's not even that great of a comeback. It's, you know, kind of emotionally or not all that intelligent. So that's kind of where it came from. I mean, even back in 2007, it was a sound bite. It's one we still talk about. Mike Hart, little brother, all that. But
like, I cringed so hard when I saw the Ambry Thomas quote today.
Yeah, well, and then after the game last year, Chase Winovich.
I forgot about that. Oh.
It's like, you know,
we love Chase, but I mean,
like, we gotta let that go. Like you said, Anthony, the little brother comment kind of had its moment in that. And that wasn't even, he didn't, like, Mike Hart didn't even come out and say Michigan State's our little brother. He said, you know, it's like playing Michigan State's like playing your little brother in the driveway. You let him get a lead and then you take it back at the end. Like, that's what he said. And obviously it turned into something much more. But then to go and do this thing where it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know what's worse than being a little brother? Being a little sister. Like, it's just dumb. And it needs to go away. And if the little brother thing needs to go away with it, then so be it.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors in life, whether they be big, small, or anywhere in between. And when we keep those bottled up, it can start to affect us in a negative way. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched up with a licensed therapist. And if for some reason that therapist isn't working out for you, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get life's challenges off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BlockM to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BlockM.
Oh, it's just one of those things too, where it's like, I don't even, that comparison doesn't even register with me because I fought with my brother, but I legitimately enjoy my brother. Like, I do.
Yeah.
I don't like Michigan State. They don't like Michigan State. The fan bases don't like each other. It's more like, forget little brother. It's asshole neighbor. Like, that's what it is. Like, let's call them that. Put that on a shirt.
Good way to put it. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I have a quick question here because you brought up, Anthony, that you don't expect this, and I don't either. You don't expect this to be a blowout game. What is it, aside from the energy that Michigan State brings to this game, the importance of the rivalry, what is it that you think is going to prevent Michigan from winning this game more easily than they should?
I think it's the Spartan defense. I think that there's still some juice there and there is still some pride there. The thing of it is, like, Michigan State's best shot in this game is going to be kind of what they did for 2.5 quarters last year, where you get Michigan into, you know, one of those slugfest rock fight type of games. Because offensively, I'll be honest, like, Brian Lewerke, for as much crap as Shea Patterson gets, and praise that Brian Lewerke gets. I mean, I think to a certain extent, those two guys are like the, you know, the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. Though I think Patterson is a little more talented, and the stats are usually a little bit more impressive. But, you know, Lewerke's fine, but their offensive line isn't good. They don't have, you know, they don't have the athletes on offense to, you know, you just look at, you know, let me ask you this, because Chris, to a certain extent, you've probably watched the most Michigan State football of the three of us this year. Who does Michigan State have offensively that, you know, is going to bust, you know, Dax Hill for a big player, or that's going to be able to outrun Cam McGrone sideline to sideline, or things like that? They don't have those guys. They don't.
Yeah.
So, and that's where like their recruiting has gone in the total, like totally just to it sucks now. I mean, something that's hurt them a lot is Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. And then, you know, Kentucky has started to recruit, you know, Michigan State would get a lot of those guys down from that, you know, down in Ohio, and they're not getting those guys anymore. And the recruiting is just, if you're a talented skill position player, you're not going to play at Michigan State. So it's just like, I see a scenario where Michigan's offense coming off of a bye week, coming off of a performance where they didn't really play all that great anyways. I could see there being some rust there, and maybe a turnover keeps Michigan State in the game. Like I said, that spread came out at, I think it was 12 points. I think it's up to 14 already, but I could see, you know, I can see a scenario where it's a, you know, 26-14 type of game or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Which is still, to me, that's still a handy, like a decent sized victory, but it's just not.
It'd be like last.
I don't think they're going to do to Michigan State what they did to Notre Dame. Because one, yeah. I don't think the weather is going to be an issue like that. And I think that, I don't know. I don't know what to expect, because on one hand, we think that we know that Michigan State's going to come out and play maybe the best game they played all year. But on the other hand, I mean, they've been through so much and they've been so terrible that at some point the bottom is just going to completely fall out for them. And maybe it already has, but I just don't see, like, to me, the question isn't what Michigan State can do to win this game. It's how can Michigan State make it scary for Michigan? I don't see a scenario in play where Michigan doesn't win this game.
Okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, that's the scary part about it, man, because we've said that about games before, and it
is that cocky of me to say? Like,
no,
I
don't think so. Not cocky,
because I think Spartan fans are kind of treating this week as a death march, and I think I'm a little more confident in their team to go in there and give them a game than they are.
I mean, it's not 2016 all over again, because Michigan's not as good as they were in 2016, but it's got that similar feel to it, right?
Yeah, but if that 20s, I mean, this is the worst Michigan State team that D'Antonio will be bringing to the Big House since.
Yeah, because that game was in East Lansing.
Ever.
Might it be ever? I mean, at least.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no. Look, D'Antonio's dominated this.
2012. That team went 6-7, I think. Yeah. That was the year they had Andrew Maxwell at quarterback.
The 12-10 game. Yeah.
Yes. That was my first Michigan State game. I was there.
Is this team worse than that team? I don't know, because I'm not a big Brian Lewerke guy, but he's like better than Andrew Maxwell.
Well,
and that the 2012 team had Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
You know, who had a transcendent season.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look.
This is obviously a better Michigan team than 2012, though, too.
Sure, it is. I don't know. It's.
Where does this? What does this like exactly mean? So, if Michigan comes in and they blow the brakes off of Michigan State, is that do it for D'Antonio? Do people tell him you need to step down at the end of the season, like, does he stay in it because his pride gets hurt because he's made his entire time at Michigan State about this game?
Well, I could see. I don't see this is the thing, and this is Michigan State's biggest problem right now, is that I don't know that they have the leadership in place to, one, even make a coaching change, or two, run a search that can get you a guy that, you know, might be someone that's a positive, you know, like any change they can make at this point, to me, if I'm a Michigan State fan, is a positive, because sometimes, like, even sometimes the voice just runs it, it runs its course. I mean, you see, like with the Red Wings, Mike Babcock, it was time. You know, the Giants, Tom Coughlin, it was time. Sometimes it's just time to move on.
The Cubs just did that with Joe.
Exactly.
Matt.
So, yeah. I mean, it's been time for Michigan State. It probably should have happened, you know, maybe after last season, or if he wasn't going to make changes, but it definitely, it's time now. Like, sometimes it's just time. So again, you look at, you know, who could they get? I mean, the thing I would worry about if I'm a Michigan State fan is I have a interim athletic director right now who, you know, if Jim Hackett as an interim athletic director at Michigan was the rock star, Bill Beekman is like the total 180 from that. Like, he's, I don't think he's has the ability to put on his big boy pants. And again, who even wants this job right now? You know, like, obviously you're not going to, you know, I think some Michigan State fans were hoping you could get your hands on like PJ Fleck or Luke Fickell or something like that. But why would any of those guys go to that dumpster fire in its current state?
So it's kind of, yeah, I think it's Pat Narduzzi, you know, I think that's the kind of obvious probably choice, but so I also want to ask you guys this real quick. What does this, if Michigan goes in and wins, does this change the narrative about Harbaugh at all? Does it change from he can't beat his rivals to he just can't beat Ohio State? You know, they obviously find something, but he'll have a winning record against MSU. He'll have a winning record against Penn State. He'll have a 500 record against Notre Dame. Like, does the narrative go away that he came in to, you know, he was hired to beat his rivals and he can't do that? Does that change, or do people just go with that lazy take still?
It chips away at it a little bit, ever so slightly. I don't think it changes the narratives, because I think what the narrative shifts to is that they can't beat, and this is something I think we've touched on before, they're not winning the games against the best teams on their schedule. You know, like Wisconsin this year, like Penn State this year, you know, when they're not better than a team, they're not winning the ones they're not supposed to. So, like I said, I think you're going to get those types of takes. And like, honestly, you beat this Michigan State team, fine. It's a rivalry game, but they suck. They're not good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do we only count like certain rivalry games?
No. I mean, it goes to, hey, he's 3-2 against Mark D'Antonio. Let a couple of them slip. One of them was the all-time fluke of all flukes. So I think maybe it adds a little bit of perspective to that. Also would be the first time he's ever beaten him at home. So
there's a stat.
That's something that's an important one in play. Other than that, like I said, people are going to say what they're going to say until, one, you beat Ohio State. And even, let's just say that they do go out and beat Ohio. Like, let's just say Michigan hypothetically runs the table this year and they beat Ohio State. Then, like, Michigan fans would be ecstatic about that. But then nationally, or even some of the detractors in the area here would be like, well, it figures you beat Ohio State, but you still can't get to a Big Ten title game. And in 5 years, that's just not good enough. So it's
right.
Like, The goalposts will always move. Again, I tend to think that how we feel at the end of this season is going to, like, Ohio State, LSU are the two best teams in college football right now. So anyone that's, like, I've been saying it for weeks, all you can hope is that you improve enough to give yourself a chance to scare Ohio State the last game of the year, because I can see in the future Michigan will, you know, say Michigan loses that game 38-27, and it'll be, you know, oh, you still can't beat the Buckeyes. The season's a failure. It's like, I can't, based on what we've seen from both of those teams this year, I can't levy that expectation against them. Like, they are what they are. So it is what it is. Beat Michigan State. It guarantees that you have a winning record against your rivals this year. Again, at this point, when you're not winning the Big Ten title, you have to find something positive to pull out of it. And like I said, they'll say the Michigan State game doesn't matter, but hey, you blew out Notre Dame as well. So to get this one, I think this would be the first year that, and mind you, it's only the second year that they've won, you know, second year that they've played three of those rivalry games, unless you count Minnesota or something like that. But it would be the first year under Jim Harbaugh where you would have a winning record in those rivalry games. So it's something at least. I mean, I don't know what else to tell people there. I don't think you can call this a great season unless you run the table and beat Ohio State, but it has a chance to still wind up pretty good and a positive for the future. And I think we're not going to know. This is like the second act. Like if last year was the first act, this is the second act where things start to turn. And then however next year goes, the third act, we're going to know if that step back this year was worth it or not. Because I think that there's a chance that it was healthy to take a bit of a step back this year, despite expectations, to set up, you know, a more prosperous and potentially successful long-term future. So, again, I'm only interested in what comes next at this point, because unless they lose out or something, there's no doubt that there's not a coaching change that's going to happen. So you see what happens moving forward and take stock from there. Even if they lose to Ohio State, they have a shot at 10 wins. So now we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I think you beat Michigan State. I agree with Luke that the narrative probably does shift a bit to, okay, well, they can get over their rivals. They just can't beat Ohio State. And winning two in a row, I think that's a big deal because it's, you know, other coaches like, you know, Meyer and Tressel and D'Antonio are kind of known for having these elongated winning streaks against their rivals. I think that I remember back when, you know, early in the D'Antonio era, the first game where I actually felt like there had kind of been a shift in the state of Michigan regarding football was 2009 when they lost that game in overtime to MSU, because, you know, any team can have one down year to go to Spartan Stadium and lose and now make it two in a row. It felt like there'd been kind of a shift. I think they have the potential to do that with this victory here to show that they are finally, and I think they have been for several years now, but definitively say they are the dominant team in the state and the dominant team in this rivalry, and having now won two in a row and three out of four.
I like it. So what do you guys got, any final thoughts on this one?
No, I don't.
leave it there.
I don't know what else to say.
I love that this is a noon kick. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I do not much care for 3:30 games or night games. So noon, it'll be over by
maybe that changes the fortune here, because I believe both kickoffs at East Lansing that Michigan has won were noon kickoffs. Both Big House kickoffs were 3:30, I'm pretty sure.
The 2015 was a 3:30, and 2017 was actually
Game. Yeah, it was night game. So shout out noon games.
Yeah.
Go noon.
Big noon Saturday. So scheduling update. They will actually play a 3:30 kick this year at Indiana next weekend. So I'm cool with that. I won't be there. I'll be at home. So doesn't affect me one iota. So enjoy if you're going.
Which, this will be kind of my final thought. A 3:30 game at Indiana, which as of now could turn out to be a road victory against a top 25 team.
Depends on – Indiana goes to Penn State this weekend. So Michigan is not to get ahead of, you know, this week, but I was looking at it earlier today. Michigan's 58-9 against Indiana all time and have won the last 23. Like, doesn't it feel like there have been so many stressful games? Like even in the last 10 years,
every Indiana game stressful.
Oh dude. Every year.
Yeah. And now that the Big Ten's in love with scheduling that game the week before Ohio State, like, that's just not good for anyone's mental health around here. So,
no.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what happened? Keep an eye on this. I'll be interested in seeing how that Penn State team plays coming off of the loss that they had, because this is a good Indiana team. And like I said, I think Michigan was better than Indiana, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Indiana have a chance to win that game late. So keep an eye on that.
Also, keep an eye on Ohio State Rutgers. this week because that'll be.
They're 55 point favorites, and I think the over under was set at like 58.5.
Rutgers team total over 3. Let's go.
It's not. I don't think it's high enough.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I'm pretty sure they've covered every first half, too.
Yeah, that's, listen, I mean, yeah. I know we hate them, but that team is fun to watch. I won't lie. They're very good.
They're, yuck. They're insanely good.
Yeah.
All right.
Disgusting. Yeah. I need to shower.
Chris, where can we find you on social media, friend?
All right, well, you can find me on Twitter at Castellani2014. That's at CastellaniI2014. If there, you'll find the link to my YouTube page as well as my Snapchat handle, which is the same as my Twitter handle. And if you want to, on Twitter, obviously baseball's done. A lot of content coming your way. Talking Lions, talking Michigan football and Michigan basketball, which is something we're going to be covering a lot more of here shortly. And if you want to see me on Instagram as well, that's ChrisCastle95. That's ChrisCastle95. Please, Anthony, follow me on all those platforms.
You can follow me on Twitter at I need to slow myself down, at Anthony T. Broom. You can follow the website on Twitter at Maize and Brew. We're on every social media platform. You can find us there. Find our shows, our podcasts, wherever you get your shows, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. We're right there on Megaphone as well. Like I said, tomorrow's podcast, Scott Bell will join me. We're going to jump inside the mind of arguably the best troll that there is on Michigan Twitter, especially for Michigan State related content. Excited to, it'll be fun. We'll have some fun with it. Obviously that means everything else will be shifted back a day. Debating on whether or not we'll do a reaction podcast for the Creighton game. We've got 2 basketball games this week and a football game. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming. There's a lot of crossover right now between both sports. So give us a follow, let us know what you want to hear. All that stuff too. Sign up for Fan Pulse too. You can check that out on the website.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi, and make sure to follow the Brewcast Show page as well. That is just at Brewcast Show. Been a fun one here this week. Always good talking to Michigan, Michigan State. And remember to subscribe, leave a review for all our shows and content where you get your podcast by searching Mesa Brew Podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And looking forward to that podcast tomorrow with Scott Bell. So for Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani, I'm Luke Ghiardi. We'll see you next week on Brewcast.